Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, and we're grateful that all of you are with us this morning. I don't have any particular announcements, but you'll see some announcements up on the board there. Does anybody else have any announcements before we get into our mission moment?
I guess it's on the board there, but a choir rehearsal on Wednesday at 6 o'clock. It's October 1st.
Very good. Always look forward to having the choir sing. Anything else? Becky, you got anything? I saw your hand go up, and I wasn't sure. Rick Van Hoff is going to introduce our speaker.
Thank you, Pastor. This is an honor for me. Holly and I have become pretty good friends over the last couple of years, and I got to know Holly through Janet Gale. Janet had a house concert with Reverend Bausch and the guys that were in their band at the time, and she had a living room concert. Lori and I were there, and that was when I first met Holly. I was involved with Church Health Services already back then. She was involved with another nonprofit called Mahalo's Hope, which I'm sure she'll tell you about a little bit. But we sat down and talked, compared missions, goals of where we were going, and she has since then moved on to a new joint venture about 5 months ago, I believe. Holly's probably the most driven and focused person I've ever known. She does not let things get to her and get beat down to how negative they get. So I'd like to welcome Holly Mulder, and she'll tell you about her new venture.
So that's always really funny, because I would say the same thing about Rick, that I feel like he's probably one of the most driven people I'm sure you guys know here. But thank you, Rick. That was a really nice introduction. So I guess, what is ARIA and how did we come here? ARIA is Adult Recovery and Youth Alliance. It's a sober living home for women and kiddos in Fond du Lac. And you were right on the time frame there. We opened our doors May 1st. We do also provide mental health services, so outpatient clinical. We're right, anybody working on state or Medicaid timelines may know that it's tricky to do that, but we're in the building out process of that, and we're just about starting that up. So I'm someone in long-term recovery myself. In May, I celebrated 12 years, and I had worked at Mahalo's Hope, as Rick had mentioned, for quite a while, and anybody, I don't know if you know what that is, but it's a women's treatment facility in Eden, and last year they had to close their doors due to the owner of the property wanting to retire her services and sell, and being a nonprofit and being very dependent on that seller as a big donor source, right, they were not able to sustain it or keep the doors open. So for me, at that time, I left there as director of operations. That was incredibly challenging and sad and hard, because I knew the need. I knew the need was so great, and the need doesn't go away. The need doesn't go away. In fact, it's only been increasing for services like that. And so it was very clear to me that I was being called to do something, and that was to open ARIA and go more from treatment to sober living, as right now there are only 3 to 4, and I say 4 because their current funding cuts are affecting, there's one of them that may be having to close down, but 3 to 4 sober living homes in the state of Wisconsin for women that allow kids to be on site. And that is crazy to me. When we talk about recovery, being able to be with your kids during your recovery process is a part of your recovery. And so it does take a lot more work to do that and offer that, which I'm sure is probably why maybe there are so few numbers of that. But so interesting stat here, but so between 3 to 6 months of living in a sober living home, There's an increase in the success rate of sustained sobriety of roughly 60%. That is insane when you think about that. Sober living has a stigma attached to it, but it also has incredible benefits that it offers. What's hard about sober living, though, is that it's typically hard to sustain financially on its own as just a sober living. They're really the women, I say women, but any individual in a sober living, their rent pays the rent, right? And so when you're trying to charge nominal or, you know, minimal rent for people who are coming into employment after gaps of not working, right, or having some record in their past that affects their employment, there's a lot of barriers to that. It really leaves a narrow margin of what jobs are available, and they're not always high-paying jobs, right? So in order to charge a rent that they can afford and try to pay your bills is very difficult, and it's hard. It's hard to sustain for a lot of sober living homes, even with grants and donors, because as we're seeing, right, this isn't to get political, but we're seeing a lot of changes that way. And so there are just a lot of funding cuts that way with grants right now. We've watched entities and organizations across the state that we know of close their doors for this reason in the recovery arena. And so we knew we had to do it differently, and we decided to go for profit, which I think can be often misunderstood, because it's not like we're just, you know, I mean, I'm not even getting paid yet, you know, so I mean, I'm throwing some humor in there, also not humor, but you know, there's that piece. It's not like it's just you're raking in the dough. In fact, in these beginning stages, in the startup, it's incredibly difficult. We have that mental health piece that I told you about, right? Our therapy services. That in our projections after 1 to 2 years will be the thing that can help sustain. And that revenue from there will help sustain. So that's really where we're like, no, we have to do this differently, and we need to provide services to the community where there's a shortage. I don't know if anybody here realizes how long or knows, right, anything in the mental health field right now, how long those waits are. The wait lists are insane. It's insane. It's 6+ months in a lot of what we're seeing. If you're lucky, you might get a few months out. And so we wanted to be able to provide those services to the community as well. But really, it was that business model of that being the thing that could help sustain us, right? But here we are right now in the startup stages. And so we are still then at that point where we're relying on the rent to pay the rent, right? And so I have been asked, like, what are ways that you need help or that people can help? You know, obviously physical volunteering is huge in various ways for people's skills and gifts, you know. But for the monetary piece, we're trying to develop our angel fund, and that would be to help offset that first month's rent for the women. They're coming in from some horrible situations where they don't have a dime and they have to pay that first month's rent to come in, and that's so hard. We're finding that across the board, right? So that angel fund can help take that off, and let me tell you what that does mentally and emotionally. It allows them to stabilize right when they come in and start their employment and really stabilize within the program. And then they'd be able to make their second month's rent, right? So that's what we're seeing. So that is a way, is to be able to contribute to the Angel Fund. I was given 5 minutes. I look at Rick, because Rick's been with me in the past too, I think, when I probably way overwent my time limit. So I'm kind of skipping through a couple of things, but I will be here after the service too, like if anybody has any questions or wants to connect and learn some more. But I do want to leave with this. The women are very marginalized in our community and society, the women at in recovery. I'm just saying the ones that I'm in, you know, have the experience with right now. I cannot tell you in this amount of time today all of the examples of this. What I can tell you is that these are human beings who have been dealt some pretty crappy cards. They've experienced trauma that will bring you to your knees. Human beings that have more courage and empathy because of their experiences than anyone I've met in my 46 years of life. They're human beings with an incredible amount of service and gifts to offer our world, but they need a chance. They need the support. They need someone and people to see them as they are, souls loved by God, and given the chance to experience life in a setting that shows shows them love without shame or judgment. What they give to me and to us is far more than I believe we give to them. My life is so blessed because of them. This is where I witness what strength really is and what applying faith really in life really looks like, where I see what resilience and hope show up like in the world. And this is a calling, and I'm so grateful that God called me to do this, no matter how much stress may come along with it, because where there are stressors, there are also opportunities for growth. And so that's really where I had kind of said, okay, Lord, here I am, send me, right? And so for me too, right now, this is about also awareness, right? So after being able to connect with Rick and Pastor Jacob, I was really thankful that he invited me to do this, because not many people even know that we're operating in Fond du Lac. And it's, I think the newest stats or data is like 6 out of 10 people have been directly impacted by substance use. So whether that's you as the one in it, right, or somebody with a direct family member, I mean, that might even be on the low margin. So I mean, like, kind of look in this room, right, how many people are here? That's crazy. It's just that we don't always talk about it, right? But the issue is all around us. And so we just want people to know that we're existing, what we're doing, and, you know, we have opportunities for people to help. So thank you for this opportunity. Thank you, Rick, for the wonderful introduction. That was nice.
Thank you, Holly. And if you would like to donate to that Angel Fund, or if you would like more information about what Araya does, Holly will be sticking around for a little while, and you'll have a chance to talk to her after the service. But now, let's share the peace of Christ with one another. What if every time you serve someone, the person standing in line waiting for food, or your child, or your parent, or your student, your patient, your client, your customer, you remember that the most important use of your power, of your influence, is to lift up the full and powerful humanity of the person in front of you. Like Jesus, change makers use their power differently. Jesus was a leader, but he led in a different way. He shared and gave away power rather than amassing it. Change making is about a deeper restoring, healing, uplifting, liberating, and unburdening of others. Let's join in the call to worship.
Join me in the responsive call to worship. The world needs to change. We are the change makers. This work of change making is going to take a while. And this work is going to take all of us. If we want to keep change going, we need to be inviting others, joining others, witnessing to others, and empowering others to do this work with us. For many of us, this is the hardest part of making change. We come to worship this morning eager to be part of this movement and to bring others along in our work. We come to worship this morning trusting that God will empower us. We are the change makers, and we are ready. Join me, please, in the unison prayer. Holy One, help us to understand what you are doing in the gospel. Help us to recognize the ways that you are empowering us. And in this story, help us to learn how to empower others. In every way, make us more like Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let's now join in the opening hymn of number 467, The Power of Your Love.
And I know that this is maybe possibly a newer hymn to some of us, so Sue and I are going to demonstrate the first verse. Feel free to sing along if you know it. Otherwise, there will be a second verse that you can join us in. Lord, I come to you, let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. Lord, I've come to know the weaknesses I see in me will be stripped away by the power of your love. Hold me close. I was telling Sue earlier that I used to be the chapel pianist at Lakeland University when I was there, and for chapel services that hymn was used often, and so that was, it's always fun to bring that one back. Morning, everybody. Lots of kids today. This is great.
Do you remember last week? Yes. We said we did a thing, and we pointed up to heaven, and we said, on God's team. Does that help? Yeah. Sorry. Thank you. All right. We said, on God's team, and we pointed up to heaven to point towards God. We said, life is better, and we did two thumbs up. Can you do that with me?
On God's team, life is better.
All right. Well, today, it's a new one. We're going to say, on God's team, players show respect, and we're going to do a little bow. Okay? So let's try that one.
On God's team, players show respect.
Yeah, we show respect for each other and our teammates and our coaches, and we also show respect for our opponents. Our opponents are never our enemies. They're just our opponents, because we're talking games, and that's what games are. So even though the Brewers lost those last two games, we still love our Brewers, and we're going to cheer them on again today, right? 2 o'clock, I think? Just in case anybody wanted to know. All right. So how many of you play on a team? Do you play on a team? What team do you play on?
Softball.
Softball team? Who do you play?
Football.
Football?
Hockey.
Hockey?
Soccer.
Soccer? We got almost all the sports covered today. All right, anybody on a, in a dance group? Anybody you do dance?
Yeah.
All right, Ava does dance. Those are teams too.
Yeah.
You know, if they all have to do the same routine and they have to do it perfect and at the same time as everybody else, that takes sometimes more coordination than just running down to catch a football.
Yeah.
Football probably players may not agree with us, but
yeah.
It does take a lot of coordination because I could never have been a warrior at No, that was not on my bucket list. Okay. How do we show respect to our teammates? Do you have any ideas how we can show respect? There's a whole bunch of ways. There's a whole bunch of good answers. Can you think of one? Showing respect to your teammates. What if somebody falls down? What could you do?
Help them up.
Say that again.
Help them up.
Yep, you could help them up. Does that show respect? Yeah. If the coach is telling you what play to run, you can show respect. Yeah, listen. Another one. John gets 2 points right there.
Woohoo!
Okay. Yeah.
Good job, John.
Let's see. If your coach is explaining a play or a dance, showing you a dance routine, doesn't matter what sport we're talking, and your teammate isn't catching on, could you help him out?
Yeah.
You could help him out. Help him practice. Help him understand. All right. Exactly. Those are all ways that we show respect.
Yeah.
Cheering each other on.
Yeah.
Being a good listener, especially when the coach is talking. Okay? So we're going to do our saying one more time, and then we're going to let Pastor Jacob lead us in prayer. So let's do both. The first one is the thumbs up one, remember? And the second one is the bow one. All right? So say it with me.
On God's team, life is better.
And on God's team, we show respect. Pastor Jacob,
yeah.
Would you lead us in prayer, please?
And before I do that, I'll just add to what Becky was saying. Remember, this is for the adults too, that church is one big team, right? You know, we are all one big team, and we show respect for each other. Not everybody always agrees with each other all the time. Not everybody always likes everybody's decisions. Sometimes if your coach tells you to do something, your coach might not. You might not like what your coach says. That happens to pastors, ironically. We all respect each other, and we remember that we are all part of God's team. So friends, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for always reminding us that we are on the same team. Thank you for showing us how to share respect and how your life is better when it's with you. Help us share your love wherever we go. Amen. Thank you, Becky.
Scripture this morning is taken from Mark 10, verses 46 through 52. Jesus and his followers came into Jericho. As Jesus was leaving Jericho together with his disciples and a sizable crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, Timaeus' son, was sitting beside the road. When he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was there, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of God, show me mercy." Many scolded him, telling him to be quiet, but he shouted even louder. "Son of David, show me mercy." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him forward." They called the blind man. "Be encouraged, get up. He's calling you." Throwing his coat to the side, he jumped up and came to Jesus. Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said, "Teacher, I want to see." Jesus said, "Go, your faith has healed you." At once he was able to see, and he began to follow Jesus on the way. Here end the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Thank you, Rick. Friends, let us pray. God, be in our heads and in our thinking. Be in my voice and in my speaking. Be in our hearts and in our loving. Speak through me or in spite of me for the benefit of your holy word. Amen. So we've reached the final week in our Changemakers series, and this week Marcia McPhee focuses on empowerment. She reminded us last week in our last week's call to worship that the world needs to change a lot, and that all our various gifts can come together and empower community change, systemic change that nobody can do by themselves. And of course, we saw this in action in the testimony that Holly offered a little earlier about what Araya is doing in the greater Fond du Lac community and how we're empowering people through their sobriety journeys, through that kind of work. And we also have seen this at work in the ministry that our kids did at VBS this summer. From everything I observed in that experience, the kids were really excited about being able to help out their community by providing some of their basic needs. Even though they never knew who was going to receive the boxes of goodies that they put together, they knew, and they had a lot of pride in the fact that they were going to be able to help people right here in their community. These are the kinds of ways that a community can be empowered to make a positive change in a world so often siloed from one another. So today, I want to bring this worship series to a close by offering two main ideas. I'll start by talking about the story of Bartimaeus and how it can help us today and what it can teach us. And then I'll connect it to how we can be empowered to make change in our own ways. And it's funny, when I say make change, I always think to myself, no, it's not like money. So it's no secret how I feel about some of the healing narratives in the Bible. You all have heard me talk about this a lot, and how they've been misused against disabled people. And indeed, one of my favorite commentaries, which specifically looks at the Bible from a disability point of view, tells us that the Gospel of Mark is uniquely bad at how it portrays disabled people. The Gospel of Mark is one of those places where you find that connection or supposed connection between disability and sin. The writer of the Gospel of Mark really seems to believe that that whole bodies, that good bodies, are healthy bodies, right? And that is that's reinforced over and over again. And even if you look at this story in an actual Bible, the heading is typically used, the heading that's typically used is the healing of blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus. It's just as if somebody were to call me Fat Jacob. Right? You know, you can't be known by some of those things, right? And Jesus reinforces this saying after healing Bartimaeus, go, your faith has saved you. So the question becomes, why preach on the healing of blind Bartimaeus when talking about empowerment? Or maybe why even talk about it at all? Because so many people are so deeply compelled by the image of Jesus as healer, right? In avoiding preaching about these texts just because I find them problematic does you no good. And so sometimes preachers have to wrestle a blessing out of a text. And believe me, I've wrestled this week. I almost reverted back to my old habits of procrastinating and starting the sermon on Saturday, but then I realized I wanted most of yesterday off, so I did start it on Thursday, and I almost finished it on Thursday. So I was proud of myself still, but I realized I just had to deal with it. So rather than dismissing this story, let's see if there's something encouraging that we can take from it. So, the first thing that commentators are quick to point out is that Bartimaeus knows something about Jesus that is not necessarily apparent to everybody else. He greets Jesus, remember, by saying, Jesus, Son of David, show me mercy. And then he says it again, Jesus, Son of David, show me mercy. That greeting is very important because not everybody understands Jesus as the Son of David. And the Son of saying Son of David demonstrated lineage to David, King David, who was known for being very attentive to the will of God until he wasn't and messed up, but we're going to gloss over that. He threw off his cloak and he followed. And this is a powerful act of discipleship, showing that Bartimaeus understands Jesus even more closely than many others. And there are lots of people, right, who scold Bartimaeus, and Jesus says, no, call him forward. And so Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? And then Bartimaeus says, teacher, I want to see. And the scripture says that Bartimaeus then regains his sight and he begins to follow Jesus on the way. So it's tempting, right, to look at this text as simply an object lesson. If your faith is strong enough, then Jesus will do good things for you, whether that's physical or spiritual or emotional. But what about the people in our lives who that's not true for? What about the people who were blind and still blind? Some people I know in Amazing Grace, they sing the word, they change the word slightly, and they sing, I once was lost but now and found, was blind and still can't see. That's a reality. And I'm sure you and I both know plenty of people who long to be healed from their chronic pain or from the ways that God has not given them a fair shake in their estimation. Even with the weight that these healing narratives bring to a lot of people, the problems of our modern day and the problems of reality that people are still discriminated against cannot be ignored. So, what does the story of Bartimaeus teach us today? This is what I've landed on. Jesus calls many people from the margins, that many people in biblical times would not want him to associate with. And even today, it's as if Jesus says, be encouraged. The lies that people believe about you have no weight to me. The negativity people made you believe about yourself does not match what God thinks about you. And you know this because your faith has been demonstrated through pain and prayer and perseverance. And even though many of us have not received the physical healing of Jesus, I'm quite sure that many of us in this room, in one way or the other, has experienced some evidence of God's grace. Some way that Jesus lifted us up when we were in trouble or made a place for us when we were outcast. That evidence of God's grace is what will empower us to follow in the way of Jesus, no matter the situations we face. Jesus finds us and lifts us up and empowers us to become makers of change. It's like that old African-American spiritual that I heard once. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. When I was in trouble, Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. So the question I have for you today is this. When in your life have you been found and encouraged or empowered by Jesus? When has your spirit been liberated from the lies that others have told you about yourself? What is the story that you can tell others about how Jesus offered you grace that you could use to change the world and make it a better place? Now, the Gospel of Mark and many other parts of the Bible may get it horribly wrong when it comes to disability, but that's why I continue to do this work. That's why it's so important to me to talk about this with congregations and with other people all across the country and working with the Disabilities Ministries Board and all of the things that I do around that. To understand not just the challenges of disability as portrayed in the biblical text, but also the gifts of grace that can come from those experiences. And when I first met Holly, she spoke powerfully of the women that and children that she has the honor of working with. And the ways that she and the other volunteers and people that work at Araya get to help these people on their recovery journey toward new life. And many of you have been through a lot. And many of you have told me stories about how God and how Jesus has brought you through something difficult. You have amazing gifts. Many of you in this room have been able to share that testimony with me in one way or the other. And all of you have stories that you can use to change the world. So as Marcia McPhee reminds us, and as Jesus reminds us, may we be empowered to share the stories and to share the testimonies of our lives that make the world a better place. May we be empowered to change because Christ has met us where we are. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our next hymn is number 359, Give Thanks. Do so. Now we turn our hearts to a time of more intentional prayer for the people and situations that we know and that we hold dear. So let's begin by taking a time of silence as we think about those folks. Amen. I received a couple of prayer requests, and as usual, I will offer an intercession. I'll say, God, in your mercy, I invite you, if you'd like, to respond or receive our prayer. So Sandra Champion let me know that she is being monitored for a brain injury. So for Sandra and for Jeff and Sandra's medical team, God in your mercy. And Chrissy Whitehouse, let me know this morning, we had prayed for her stepdad who was dealing with an aggressive form of cancer. She let me know this morning that he has passed from life to life. While they are grateful that that his pain and his suffering have ended, they are just devastated. So for Chrissy and for her whole family, as they remember her stepdad, God in your mercy. and continued prayers for Paul Reynolds. Anybody who sees Paul in the near future should tell him to drink a glass of water because he's not drinking enough. Among other things. So I actually called Paul and Laura earlier this week, and I said, "This is God speaking. Drink water." So prayers for Paul and for Laura as she tries to deal with him patiently and lovingly. God in your mercy. What other prayers do we bring today?
I have a joy.
Yes.
About a week and a half ago, my sister Rachel went for her fifth of the six chemo treatments, and she was told to ring the bell and go home instead. So she is
Praise
done with
God.
Her chemo.
For, yes. Praise God. So for Rachel, for her medical team, and for all of the, for this wonderful news, God in your mercy. Always great to be able to share news like that. Thank you, Diane. Anything else today?
I'd like to wish my dad a happy 66th birthday today.
Yes, indeed. Happy birthday, Alan. God in your mercy. If there's nothing else, anything on Zoom?
Shirley Williams, she is a great grandma again, and
Woo-hoo!
Then also her cataract surgery as well coming up.
Yes, yes, indeed. Two joys: being a great grandma again, and cataract surgery, so hopefully Shirley can see a little better. God in your mercy. Anything else today? Okay, then let us be in prayer. God of grace and love, we remember the ways that you empower us. We remember the ways that you have lifted us up from difficult situations, given us a story to tell about how you have been present with us. And we know there are so many ways that that other people may need that too. You know, Rachel has that story to tell about how God has taken care of her. And we ask you to be with Sandra and Jeff, Paul and Laura, with Chrissy and her family, and with all of those who are up against difficult situations, whether going through a sobriety journey, whether not having a safe place to lay their head, having war and conflict and abuse as part of their lives, being discriminated against for things they can't control. In all of these ways, O God, we ask you to show us what it's like to be your hands and feet, as Jesus taught us to do. And as Jesus taught us to pray, so we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at Union Congregational Church, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. As the ushers come around, you may give a gift in the offering plate. You may also do that online at ucccwapan.net. But however you give, remember that your gift is going to benefit the needs of not only this local church, but the church universal. Please join me in the prayer of dedication. Holy One, we know that extraordinary things come from you, things we could never understand or imagine. With these gifts, help us be messengers of that life-changing hope for others. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 552, We All Are One in Mission.